Well, this morning we have a guest joining us by phone. Gene Stevens is an Iowan, a historian, an author, and spends a lot of time researching the past and did a little project here in our own backyard here, not too far from where we sit here recently, that we kind of wanted to visit with about. Gene, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for the time here this morning. We appreciate you spending a little time with us here on the program to talk a little bit about something that you had an opportunity to do here over near Adair at the Jesse James Historical Site there. Can you talk a little bit about that project?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm a historian and a writer, and I've been studying frontier history and Western history and Civil War history, too, pretty heavily for the last 30 years. And I became very interested in the Jesse James site in the Rich Railroading history. I'm a bit of a rail fan myself, and the two kind of mixed together with me, and I became very interested, and I went out there several times and looked at the site. And I've written a couple of books, and I've done some work on Jesse James, and I got invited down to the James Farm to do a presentation to the Friends of the James Farm, which I'm also a member of in Kearney, Missouri. And then I'd run into another member of the Friends of James Farm, and his name is Denny Anderson. He lives over in Eastern Iowa. I'm drawing a blank on the name of the town where he lives. But so he had approached me, and he told me he had went out to the site because I showed some pictures of the site and the abutment that was out there, and it was left from where the train tracks, the abutment from the train trestle. And then he had said that he had seen tracks down there, and I had looked down there, and I never really paid much attention to it. When I looked at it, I was just more interested in the history part. But then he invited me to come out there, and we started looking at the site, and lo and behold, there was track that was left there, and we were able to get some pictures of the track, particularly the end of, like, the end section of the track, so we could see the configuration of the way it was designed. And I sent it over to the Boone Scenic Railroad Museum in Boone, Iowa, and they had taken a look at that and said they believe the tracks are from the time period. And then we got down back in there a couple more times, and we actually found the manufacturer's name on the site of one of the railroad tracks. And it turns out that railroad track was from the time period. So that kind of drew us into doing some more research into what was happening.
You know, it's one thing to plot something out, but then to have those discoveries like that, how exciting is that?
Oh, well, for me, it's very exciting because this is really what I've been into very heavily for many, many years. And it was exciting to actually see, you know, these artifacts still left from that time period. And then I had reached out to, I got this idea that maybe we could go out there and survey the site and do some metal detecting to see what else we could find. And I reached out to Dominic from the conservation district, and he had said that we could go out there and metal detect. And then I had reached out to an Iowa metal detecting group on Facebook. Social media is wonderful for networking with this stuff, by the way. So I think social media has been a great resource, you know, in the internet, but particularly Facebook for these different types of groups. So I reached out to these metal detector folks, and I was kind of expecting to get like 5 or 6 people. Well, about 30 people showed up. So we had all these people, and we were able to scan the area and get a very good feel for what actually happened out there.
What are some of the things you found?
Well, we didn't necessarily find anything like directly connected to, say, the train robbery. Because remember, the train robbery, which happened in 1873, was very quick, and it happened very fast. It was a very short duration event. And then Jesse James and his gang had fled, you know, back south into Missouri. So it wasn't like there was a lot of time that was spent. But what we did find was a lot of railroad-related artifacts, and kind of, and it revealed some things to us. But that what we found out is that ground had actually changed considerably since that time, and the metal detector group came out, and a lot of the people were telling me that they were finding things, but they were unusually deep in the ground, and what we realized was that that segment of ground between where the creek was and where the monument sits was probably all built up. And when the roads were modernized and built up, they probably pushed a lot of material into that area. And also the railroad right of way changed because Iowa Interstate Railroad runs through that area, and they built up a new railroad right of way. And that earth material was probably dumped in that area. Unusually, I shouldn't say unusually, I shouldn't be surprised. We found a huge piece of steel out there, and looked like a big stamped part for a piece of equipment. And at first, we didn't know what it was, but luckily, there was like the serial number on it. And I flipped it over, and it had yellow paint on it. And my wheels kind of got turning, and I thought maybe this might be part of a piece of construction equipment. And sure enough, getting back to how Facebook and social media works and networking, I found a site where there was people who actually collect Caterpillar tractors. And I suspected, yellow Caterpillar yellow, and I suspected it was a piece of tractor. And I reached out to them, and they looked at the serial number. Sure enough, it was actually a part from a Caterpillar DA tractor that was probably left out there, and it was pretty severely banged up and bent up, so it probably got damaged in the process or the construction process. So that told us a lot about what was happening out there during that time. But the landscape has changed considerably. What we know at this point is that what we see on like I said, between the monument and the creek, we see what could have been a part of a shorter piece of track, or what they call narrow gauge. So we found narrow gauge track and narrow gauge railroad spikes at that point. And we think there was a spur that came off of that for some reason. Maybe there was some type of operation where they were moving material to the train at that location. But the track, it's not part of the Chicago or the Rock Island Railroad. At that point, Rock Island and Pacific Railroad, at that point, we think it was a spur that came off of the track in that area. But it leads back down, it led us back down towards the creek, and we think the creek is where everything has happened. But the property beyond that is actually private property now, and there's an excavating company over there, and the excavating company may actually be sitting on where the train actually sat when it derailed. So, and that is private property, and it's been changed considerably too, but we didn't scan that area. We just went up to the creek. But with that said, there was a lot of artifacts that were also pulled out of the creek as well. We have a cup that appears to be a tin covered metal cup that may have come off of the train. That's one thing. Is that directly related to the robbery? We don't know that. Interestingly, we found several pins. The old system. Are you familiar with like knuckle couplers on trains, the way they look today?
Right.
So before that, they had a thing called the link and pin system, and that link and pin system was like a big chain link that they put between the cars, and it went into like a port or a receiver. And the brakeman actually had this big iron pin, and he walked in and he dropped that into the link to lock the train cars together. In fact, it was a very dangerous job. In fact, this pin or pins, we found maybe three or four. I have one that we're going to donate to the County Historical Society in Adair. And these pins, it was actually a very dangerous job. And when I found that, it kind of brought it home for me, because that was a human element, because a lot of brakemen were killed and injured trying to link cars together in that manner. That's why they came up with this other coupling system, because it was extremely dangerous for them to be between cars trying to link the train cars together. But we have one of those links complete. So we have a whole link, or a whole pin, I should say. We don't have the link, but we have a whole pin for the car.
Wow, that's really, it would have been great to find some artifacts directly related to the event, the train robbery, but what's the significance of finding these other pieces?
Well, the significance is that it shows us the rich railroading history of Iowa. And I think that railroading history is important because it was the early railroads that came in, like the Chicago, Rock Island, and Pacific Railroad that came through Iowa. that linked all the towns. Every town, like through your area where you live, every town going west along I-80, you know, from all the way from Dexter, you know, if you could, I'm sure you can wrap your mind around this, from Dexter all the way out to Omaha, Nebraska, were all linked together because of the railroad. You know, it was those towns. And, you know, you look at, you drive along the White Pole Road, which I love the White Pole Road. I think the White Pole Road is a very historic byway. I think I call it the Iowa's Outlaw Trail because it not only encompasses the Jesse James robbery, it also encompasses the Bonnie and Clyde shootout in Dexter, Iowa, as well as Dexfield Park. You know, so there's this very rich railroading history through there that occurred, and all those towns grew because of railroads. The railroads created those towns, and that railroad line that went through there went all the way to Council Bluffs, Iowa, and that's where the jumping off point was for when the trade. That's part of the Transcontinental Railroad. In fact, there's a very neat story that I'd like to share with you about the silver train. There was a silver train that was purchased by the Chicago and Rock Island Pacific Railroad, and they ran this train all the way up to Omaha, and it broke speed records, and it was a beautiful train, and it was silver plated, and it was just a shining example, and it was the early days of this railroad, and they made their way. They created the towns in Iowa.
Yeah, Iowa was we were part of the West. We were the point where they started.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. The names that come up when you talk about Iowa in the Wild West, I mean, Buffalo Bill, Wyatt Earp and his family migrated from Pella, Iowa to San Bernardino, California. John Wayne was born in Winterset, Iowa. The Lewis and Clark expedition jumped off from Council Bluffs, Iowa, to go west to the Pacific Coast. I mean, yes, it's very rich. We are very much part of the American. I call us the doorstep of the American West.
Yeah. Gene, you seem to have a real passion, obviously, for this, especially this part of Iowa history. How did that cultivate for you?
Oh, it started a long time ago. It really started. It started with reenacting, because I'm a historic reenactor as well, and I started in Civil War reenacting back in the 1990s. And the 1990s were kind of the heyday of Civil War reenacting, and it became very big. Very big. Some of the early events that I went to back then, and they're not as big now, but in some of the early events, thousands of reenactors would show up. It was quite the hobby. And I still do it. I'm with an organization called the Army of the Southwest, which is here, based here in Iowa. So I still have my hand in it. But because of that, in my travels, because in fact, I went to so many reenactments around the country. I was all over the country doing them. I'd have to sit down and I'd have to really sit down and think about, you know, where I was at. But probably in my early days, I was in Missouri quite a bit doing reenacting. And the first real big reenactment I did was at Wilson's Creek, Missouri. And, you know, the first big battles were not really waged in the East. They were waged in the West. And a lot of Iowans don't realize it, but the American Civil War, you know, really didn't start at Fort Sumter. It started about two hours south of us and two hours south of where you live in southwestern Missouri during the border wars. You know, so, you know, and that's very exciting to me to be that close to the ground. But it started to that ground, but it started from Civil War reenacting, because it took me all over. I was on many battlefields and many historic sites. But it took me, you know, my travels took me to other historic sites all over the country, too, besides Civil War battlefields as well. So I got to see a lot of history. So it became very three-dimensional for me.
Yeah, well, it's always fun to bring the past to life. It's our history too, so it's a great opportunity to be able to discover some things and to broaden that knowledge base too, and then share it with other people as well. And we appreciate you doing that here today. I wish we had more time; we could probably talk for a while. We'll have to keep in touch and continue to see some of those exploits around the area when you have a chance to do some of that more of that work out there. Gene, thank you so much for the time today.
All right, thank you.